When some people are tossing their half strangeness salads, they go for Skinwalker Blue Cheese, Skinwalker Balsamic Vinaigrette, or even Skinwalker Caesar. But Steve and Joe, they know that only one secret sauce will satiate their paranormal cravings. They're hungry for Skinwalker Ranch. Today they're chowing down on a man salad, as described by the Persian gentleman who ran an Italian fast casual eatery that Joey would attend with his old boss 10 years ago. It was a standard antipasto salad, all with the side of Season 4, Episode 3 of The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch, The Blah.
Big as Jan's head.
Yeah. I was thinking that exact thing, despite never having met Jan before. both Pete, the tech man, and Jan have big pedophile energy. Jan had very, he sounded Canadian, and he was also of like Indian descent.
So,
but he just kind of had that like trail off voice at the end, which always is a little creepy and everything, you know?
Yeah, well, it's the creepy Indian British affect, I think.
Exactly, yeah. And then with that, you know, the very polite Canadian attitude, which is super nice.
Right.
But if you have, if you have a certain mix of affects and then you layer that on top, it seems a little creepy. So.
A little sus.
Yes. Welcome. It's Hungry for Skinwalker Ranch, our bi-weekly show within a show, show within our feed, I guess. We're just dousing our tossed salads with Skinwalker Ranch.
Which I saw the next season starts on the 23rd.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Of this month. So it's actually kind of topical to be at least.
It's a very long time before it was on streaming services without a paywall. Well, whatever.
Extra
individual episode pay, a la carte. That's what I was looking for. I remember the salad I was talking about. There was a little Italian place across from the old company that we both worked at briefly for a while, but in the building you didn't work at because we were gone from there by that point. But there's a little shopping center across from the street there. Across from the street, not across the street. But there's a street, and across from that was this place. And they had a, it's not Jersey Mike's, it's the other one. It's
bad one that killed Tigers. Timothy John's.
Hungry John's,
and it's not Papa John's.
No.
It's,
the fuck is that place?
Jesus Christ, yeah, because it's
Sandwich
Tony's Chick. Little Italy.
John.
And then Big Jimmy John's.
It's Jimmy John.
Jimmy John.
Yeah, which they make very bland, stupid very dry name. Sandwiches, and they charge you for
very small sandwiches.
Yes, they charge you for Italian vinaigrette for their Italian sandwich or mustard or meat, whatever you want. You got to pay for it.
We go Mike's way, that's complimentary.
Right, exactly. And there was a gal I worked with at a different job that was actually in the same. You didn't even have to go on a major street at the t-shirt company to walk over there. It's where I told my buddy Craig, who was my boss at that McDonald's there, that I quit.
And I love him.
The last company that I worked at. But
after some soft serve that was actually working.
Yes. She was into very bland food, and she loved Jimmy John's because it was bland. And I'm like, God, that's so fucking sad.
I don't think I've ever I don't know if I've ever been to a Jimmy John's. I think it's only been catered at other places. Right.
Yeah. I went there twice.
Straight up.
I went there three times. I was like, once to try it. I was like, cool. Love sandwiches. Let's go try it. It wasn't gross. Like, it was fine quality, I guess, but it was just the most boring sandwich ever. And then, it really rubbed me the wrong. The guy looked like, he looked at me like I was ordering 4 peanut butter tubs for my bagel at Contact in the Desert 2019 when I asked for, I was like, oh, can you put some vinaigrette on there or whatever, oil, vinegar, salt, pepper, whatever. And he was like, oh, I have to give it to you in a tub and I'd have to charge you for it. And I was like, And I said, you serve this sandwich dry? He's like, yeah. I'm like, oh my God. Insanity. So I went back because that girl wanted to go back. Or the whole office wanted to go there. And tried another sandwich. It was very boring. It's like a fucking chicken club or turkey club or something like that. And then went there one more time just in case all of that was a to another location. I tried a different location. Right. And it was exactly the same. I was like, never again. Unless
the one know. Spot, there is one by me, but I never go, is the Firehouse Subs. I think those are pretty good. Where did we go that we ran into coworkers at our most recent job together? Wasn't there on a harbor? There's some sandwich place that had like big beefy sandwiches.
Oh, you're talking about Tommy Pastrami's?
No. This was south. This was like more by the Target.
Oh, that was that. Yes, that was the Bronx Deli, which is no longer Bronx Deli. That's what yeah.
Oh, it's not now, there. Oh,
it's a Dave's Hot really Chicken now.
Yeah, it's boring.
But Bronx Deli is a chain, but like, yeah, they were a pretty good chain too. But I mean, I don't think they're gone. I think just think that location.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever,
but yeah. But
I think I had Dave's Hot Chicken and was unimpressed drastically.
I've never had it because I've only heard mediocrity.
Because like, I think it's just tenders, not like whole chicken or anything. It's just like
you can't get hot a big chicken tenders fire breast sandwich or anything.
Right
but yeah, so I would go to this little Italian place and it was a very salami heavy salad and like salami mortadella on top, and but it was just an antipasto salad, and I was like ooh, what is that on the menu? Because like it was there but I couldn't see it on the menu, so I didn't know what to call it. And I was like, I'm assuming that's an antipasto. And he goes, it's a man salad, bro. And I was like, okay. And then it made me not kind of want to order it, but I still ordered it and it was fine. But
anyway,
we are here. We are like
the bologna salad in the Czech Republic, which was just cold, not very good bologna.
That's right.
Right. That's what you got at the that brewery. It was like a healthy option. And it was disgusting.
There was like potato and bologna and like a couple shreds of cabbage or lettuce underneath.
And like cold vinegar. Something, I don't know.
Yes, you got to go to the coasts in America to get those good salads. but yeah, we are streaming our recording of Hungry for Skinwalker Ranch right here at twitch.tv/probingancientaliens, like we do every two Mondays. Every other Monday that we are not recording this show, we are recording No Guts, No Glory, the Berserk podcast that is on its own podcast feed on all your favorite podcast services. That is covering chapter by chilling chapter Kentaro Miura's dark fantasy magnum opus saga, I should call it, of Guts the black swordsman getting revenge for horrible traumatic thing that happened with demons and sexual assault that most people know about if they know about Berserk
and an eclipse.
Yes. Topical. Very topical. Lots of Berserk memes today because of being a famous event in that story. But we are in that podcast. You have about, I think, 26 or 27 episodes to catch up on right now if you haven't tried it yet. My buddy Ryan from my martial arts group is on there. He's a big weeb, so there's kind of a good mix of expertise there. He's a big weeb and is also an artist and also a musician. I was a creative writing guy, and Steve is reading it for the very first time and is a great collector and getting those fresh eyes on the events of the story, which are shocking to say the least at many times. So, children are killed. Almost all women are sexually assaulted in the story. You have to be able to handle that to get to the good stuff, because a lot of people see it and get very offended. But
it's at that point.
We're having a lot of fun doing that show, and give us a listen over there. Give us a follow. Give us some nice reviews for that. Give us some nice reviews for this show. Helps us get found by little prolapsternauts out there. Make sure and head over to blackholesupplycompany.com. for Probing Ancient Aliens merchandise, disc golf discs, and disc golf apparel, run by Steve Truly himself, Steve. And there's a physical location now in Fountain Valley, California, as a kind of a shop and shop within Cape and Cowl Collectibles. That's Fountain Valley, California. Just a hop, skip, and a jump from Disneyland, USA, Main Street, USA. If you're ever coming out here for a Disneyland trip, then you can visit old Steve and his buddy Sterling that runs the store and frequently closes the store and posts on Facebook about family emergencies.
Follow the story
or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
one man little, band. So.
We have a little segment here called Reaching for the Stars, which we don't have any new stars to reach for this week.
Yeah, nobody gave us
5-star ratings as far as we
will check Castbox. Maybe sometimes sneak in there. But yeah, nothing on iTunes and Spotify is up in the air. I do not want
premium. Give us those nice ratings. Like I said, it helps us algorithmically get pushed and found.
Yeah, nothing new.
Other potential prolapsernauts out there. And then we have a little segment here called How You Doing, Steve? How You Doing, Joey? Where we ask each other how we're doing. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing okay. Yes, working and whatnot has been the weeks of the usual, but this last weekend.
Working and whatnot has been the weeks of the usual here in these hallowed halls.
We do not celebrate Easter. It was raining.
Sound like a Charles Dickens novel. Right.
Very fanciful for how we speak about thy normalities and everyday occurrences. But no, I got the Friday off here, and we did a little belated anniversary trip down to Carlsbad. Yes. So we stayed at that same hotel on the beach.
Sounds cool.
Which was nice, and then hit up the Windmill, which is where we got married, and then yeah, it was just a nice, very relaxing time, because last time we did that, we went down Friday after work, and it was earlier in the year, so it was like dark, and I kind of felt rushed, where this time with the Friday off, we were able to head down, you know, mid-morning.
Nice.
Hit up the old flower fields in Carlsbad and saw those lovely flowers bloomed.
Is that the flower fields that everyone posts on? Or those?
These are like planted, right? Oh, so it's like they're famous, but then there's those other hills, which I think are deeper in San Diego, which are like the wild flower craziness that people then can just free reign. Yeah, this is like a farm, basically.
Got
right?
It,
so you're not allowed to trounce around in the flower beds.
Got it.
I did see Alice in Wonderland walking around singing, and some other flowers were very mean to her, but it was a good experience. But yeah, so overall, a nice weekend hanging out. It was a little cooler, but
every week I'm like, man, this is going to be the last cold rain or weekend or whatever. Well, and then it'll warm up for 2 days and then it gets cold again.
It's going to be 80 the next 2 or 3 days here. And then on Saturday it rains and it will be 59. Yeah. So I'm like, every weekend now.
It's God. Okay. Come on.
Yeah. Come on, mister. But yeah, then yeah, like I said, working and whatnot. Haven't played too many games. I guess I got a disc golf tournament.
That's Steve's new disc golf account, disc golf derf.
Derf. Yeah. Adam diff, diffed and derf. tournament coming back to the infamous Crestline, which is where I got locked in the bathroom and had to break the door down of the Christian camp. So yeah, that'll be like mid-May or something like that. So now we'll start to prep for that. But
it warms up by
over. Yeah, I could get a little snow. It did snow up there this weekend. I think it snowed in like Palm Springs.
Chili chains.
Just a show. But, yeah.
For all your snow disc golf excursions.
Yeah. And my stews.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Hey, nothing warms you up and fills you up better after a long couple rounds on chili chain
weather. You let that chili simmer for 4 hours. You go hit the links and then come on back and warm right up.
You just have that thing hooked up to your car, cigarette lighter, power thing. Hey, you don't need to drive home because your battery is dead because you got all that hot chili.
That's why I got the cart. I got a car battery tied up to with the crock pot running below.
Oh, yeah.
Usually about 50% spills out. And once the battery did catch on fire due to rain, but outside of that, it's pretty good setup.
You're used to driving the highways under the speed limit from your rascal. No, your ruckus days too.
Right. Oh yeah, low and slow, baby, is how I live my life.
That's true. Yeah, just like your smokers.
Yes. But yes, that's
you gonna throw. You gonna throw any of those? What is it? Is it the gravity that's a 14.5 speed Eagle McMahon?
But on his story. Well, for anybody looking, I do have a big restock coming in, but those are part of it. Because, yeah, they haven't had any of those for a long time. But I think since Simon and Eagle have been super horny for those discs, they finally are back in production. But no one has any business throwing those.
Right. Like, they used to talk shit on anything above a 12 speed before.
Right, right, right.
They're always like, I don't even know if that makes a difference or whatever, too. You know, which, I mean, who knows, but...
But they seem to love him.
Yeah, he was creaming his jeans over how dopey it was and how thick that fucking rim is, you know.
It bombs. But yeah, 14 something. So I'm like, I ordered these for the idiots online because I don't think anyone
so they can rip their shoulders out like we all did. Well,
it'll be great. Yes. How are you doing, Joel?
I'm good. I am started my fourth of seven quarters of school last week, talking about trauma and mental health. So I got assessment of mental health across the lifespan class. I got the intersection of mental health, trauma, and substance abuse class. And then I have trauma-informed intervention and assessments and intervention. And then my internship class. So one extra class. I'm on an accelerated full-time schedule. So I'll be done in seven quarters instead of nine, which is full-time. And so I have, I have like kind of three main classes this quarter, whereas last quarter I only had two. So it kind of, it trades off each quarter. Yeah. So it's kind of like easier quarter than a harder quarter. But it's a lot more, having a lot more interesting conversations now that the foundational stuff in my program is over.
Advancing the content.
Yeah, for social work, like all the stuff I've done is interesting, but they're you know, it all feeds off each other. But when you're just immersed in it and you don't have any breaks like I do on my schedule, cause I'm on the accelerated thing. I only have like a week or two in between a lot of quarters until holiday break, which was the only like real one. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes there's some classes where you're like, wait, was I writing about this in this other class? That's the same kind of question in this class. But then it also really sticks because A, I'm interested in it, and B, it sticks because it's all like double, triple reinforced. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it's cool. We're very different professors too, which is interesting. Like one is like, we're going to talk about trauma. We're going to talk about our trauma. We're going to fucking have it all out there on the table and no trigger warnings. And then another professor literally asked me to change a response in one of our, like our pre-homework kind of responses. Cause all the other, like certain ones, all the students can read each other's if they want. Mm-hmm. And I literally wrote like, specific to the question, it was like, oh, like, cause it was like, what experience with trauma do you have in your own life? Like whatever. So it asked the question and I was like, oh, like I come from, you know, my mom's side.
I'm down under.
My mom's side had alcoholism and some abuse of her older brother that she witnessed and had vicarious trauma. My dad was emotionally and kind of physically abused too with Italian immigrant parents. So I just like wrote that and it's like, and I could tell that me and two or three other people, had no feedback from the professor on the little comment section that they can do. And they all had the same thing that said edited afterwards. And it was, she messaged me privately, was like trying to be really cool about it, but she was like basically the opposite of the other professor, which are one at like they're on Thursdays. One is earlier, one's right after that one. So it's like a kind of a weird 1-2 punch of like, we're going to put everything on the table. And then the next one's like, you shouldn't self-disclose almost anything ever. And I'm like, okay. like, cause self-disclosure when you're working with a therapist or a psychiatrist, it's like, yeah, if you don't have any trust built up, you might not want to say, yeah, I live over in this city and I go to this restaurant all the time. Cause you just don't know. Yeah, right. Yeah. But if you have a client for years or whatever, then whatever. But, anyway, very interesting perspectives. And it is interesting too, cause the one professor, very vocal, very like passionate and stuff. And the other one's very low energy, very quiet. And so it's like, which I've seen, you know, those kinds of therapists too. So it's just kind of funny, but yeah, having fun. I'm also, ramping up to finish my, more social worky internship at the homeless, nonprofit place that I'm at by the end of May. And then I start my concentration one, which will be at a mental health facility of some kind. I've already interviewed at one place. But I'm going to put together some more referrals of places that I want to as alternates. Cause that's like the one that I tried for would be really cool, but it's like, it's on the semester system, not the quarter system. So I'm not sure how my hours would line up. I'd have to wait till like August or something. But it'd be a really cool opportunity. But anyway,
yeah.
But yeah, other than that, I'll save. I mean, there's not much to say, but I watched if Jacob Williams is a crossover listener of No Guts, No Glory on this show, maybe he asked if we were watching Ninja Kamui. And I watched two episodes of it because not that I only could, but Sarah, my wife, happened to be at my older sister's bachelorette party the other night. And so I ordered some Thai food from a place I hadn't tried yet and watched a couple episodes of Ninja Kamui. And the action is good. The story is completely rote and predictable. It's a revenge story, and it's cut and dry, and it's cool because it literally gets right into the action, but you do not really care that much about the main character other than his wife and kid get murdered in like the first 5 minutes of the first episode. And the whole thing is just a revenge tale where he's going after these kind of cyber ninjas that he used to be a part of. Mm. And there's a conspiracy to track him down because he like defected or something like that. So the action's really cool, but I'm kind of like, it's almost like watching a YouTube montage of action scenes instead of watching something with any sort of depth in it, you know? So, and people have reviewed like all 9 episodes and they're like, yeah, it's pretty much that. So it's cool to be for action, but it's nothing more than that really. You
know? Right.
Very straightforward, I guess I'd say. But, and then, I finally finished Final Fantasy VII Remake, I put it down. It came out literally the month lockdown happened, and I was feeling very impatient and out of sorts, as many of us were. And for some reason, the end was kind of like a boss fight slog. And I was like, I don't know. I got to go. There's this other game I was going to play. I got impatient. I bailed on it. I literally only had like 2 hours left to finish the game back then. So I finished it this time. I'm glad I did. Enjoyed it much more than before too. The DLC, which has another character introduced from the original game back in 1997. Mm-hmm. And then they just released they're splitting one game up into three, kind of like Hobbit trilogy style, Peter Jackson's okay. Hobbit trilogy. And so Final Fantasy VII came out. I've been saying that a lot lately. Also been saying Jesus Christ lately. excited to play Rebirth after what is it called? Final Fantasy VII Intermission Intergrade. It's a very dumb name, but it's typical Square Enix Japanese RPG company. I've been in a fucking JRPG fucking rabbit hole the past like 4 or 5 months with the Nier games and this too. So I might do a palate cleanser in between too. There's apparently some graphical issues that they're supposed to be patching in Rebirth, and I kind of want to wait for that. I might even want to wait until the PS5 Pro comes out this fall. I don't know, but we'll see. I'm sure you'll all be waiting with bated breath on what video game I will play. But also quick note, we could even do this for Probing Deeper this month. Sarah and I watched all of the entire season of Constellation at your recommendation. Absolutely,
that was good, right?
Absolutely loved it. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
So I'd be excited to talk about it.
I was thinking the same thing too. Now, so I'm glad you said that. That did cross my mind. I'm like, oh yeah, that can be a good Probing Deeper, which if you want to record tomorrow night, you should be able to.
What is that, Tuesday? I have my internship class, but it's over at 6. So yeah, that's all I have. Okay. Yeah. So, that should be good because I don't
really. If it's fresh on your mind.
Don't need any prep except for what I inject into my veins. Yeah,
exactly. So I can party.
I was talking about it with Sarah. It was cool because she understood it for the most part. Mm-hmm. But she gets to a point where she says, like, this breaks my brain when I'm talking to her
about
the observer effect and the uncertainty print and all this stuff. But I mean, man, if I had not been exposed to Anthony Peak and got obsessed with his books and stuff for the last, you know, better part of almost a year now, I got so much more out of that show. Like, I could understand the, you know, the quote unquote basics, the basic scientific quantum physics principles they're introducing, so that I could actually enjoy it as like a new kind of sci-fi, almost ghost haunting story in a weird way.
Right, you know?
Like, but also like mistaken identity, like all, anyway, we can talk about the show, but yeah, I was like, I really liked it. I was kind of bummed. Like review scores don't really matter, but I was surprised, but also not surprised by the end, that I think it's sitting at like a 6 out of 10 on IMDb's rating or whatever, because I think it would be a very polarizing show. You know,
it's like, very heady that people are like, I don't get it. And then, you know, just shun it away from that or can't suspend reality to then grasp this concept of,
right,
well, this could be how these things happen.
Exactly.
Crossovers and blah, blah.
And I love that the whole show is like, basically, what if instead of we're pretty sure that the observer effect is theoretically a thing, like it mathematically makes sense, that what a conscious being's intention is on some sort of phenomena is what brings that into existence, right? That is a big mind fuck, right? That says that we have some sort of maybe control, that our reality is subjective, right? And that spawns off into the Everett's many worlds interpretation, the first kind of main multiverse theory in science, right?
Right, right.
And that every decision, everything we observe, every change, it all exponentially just grows into infinite universes based on that, forever and ever. And so, and basically the premise of the show is like, what if a few people literally had that proven that it was factual and true? Would your mind be able to exist sanely and like under and like accept how that, like I'm not going to spoil anything, but it's a similar kind of effect as the movie Arrival, the linguistic movie, right? Like where it's like, if you understand an entirely new way of understanding reality, then your perception of reality will change to the point that your life is not going to be the same anymore, you know?
Yeah. And obviously we can talk about it more, but for anyone here who's not on Patreon, I will say it is funny because there is some of the ancient astronaut theory stuff that we cover
in
this to a certain extent. And then they're at basically a contact in the desert on a cruise ship.
Yes.
And then like they're calling him out as being a liar for going into space and all these things. And there's like basically not necessarily a Wilcock, but one of these types that's like, I'm smarter than, like, almost he was like Nolan.
Wilcock mixed with, he was like a Wilcock mixed with Pope, I thought, like Nick Pope, I almost thought. But then, then Dolan, because he has you said Nolan. Yeah, Christopher Nolan.
But
Dolan, too, because he seems like more of a reporter, almost like a journalist that's like
breaking. Right, but like attacking, like, yeah, but you're not, and all these things. So it's really, really interesting show. So excited to talk about it more. But there are, if you're not on Patreon, but at least check it out, because there's some alien ties of like what we talk about here,
right? There,
without spoilers.
And it's only eight.
And when I say aliens, ancient, like again, the basically the convention is hilarious.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's 8 episodes. It's on Apple TV. It'd be a pretty big recommend from us, sure. It does a thing where it makes it open to another season. But if it did end, I would have been like, hey, that's really good. Like, I mean, like, even leaving some of those, some very kind of light things unanswered is kind of the point. And it's not, for me, it wasn't in a dissatisfying way where it's like, oh, they're leaving, they didn't solve. It's like, no, like that. When you look at the character arcs, you're like, that is the point.
The whole thing is Wild West, like craziness. So.
Yeah.
Can't have everything cleaned up and tied up with a bow.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Apple TV continues to have, at least for me, like the most interesting premised shows. Like it has the most kind of like, it seems to allow creators to be like, I want to fucking geek out on basically a mixture of a ghost story, of a multiverse story, and particle quantum physics, right? like being a thing. Yep. Like I want to explore a haunting story, even like paranormal investigation equipment kind of stuff too.
Right, right.
And all because of space travel and quantum physics. Like, so it's like, you know, which like you could argue Intermission, you know, Intergalactic, Interstellar. Right, right. Christopher Dolan's Interstellar, of course, where it's the cloud, I'm your ghost, Merv, and that kind of touched on it too. But I think that's what I liked about it, is like it went there and even fucking nerdier about a lot of this quantum physics stuff, you know. So I cannot fucking wait for season 2 of Severance to come as well, which
that's been massively backlogged due to the
membership. Because what's his face, Adam Scott, I remember it was like 5 or 6 months ago, he was like happy to be back on set because they finally resumed filming of season two, so I think it's scheduled for this fall or something like that. So
hopefully,
because it was already supposed to be out last fall, but then we had the writer's strike and everything, so
anyway,
bringing us here to an episode where like not really a lot happens, but like
I felt like I was having fun watching it, but to a point I'm like, oh, that's all that happened.
Yeah,
because it was like the freaking Big as Eon's head guy and then Nighttime Rockets and then some throwing some shapes, you know, in the computer to see things, and then
I am
some,
Electro Boy.
Some classic, you know, we're being watched, and now create some drama. And it was fine, it was fun, but yeah, I don't think anything too nutty happened.
It was like as soon as it felt like it was getting the beginning was the worst paced part. They talked about Jan Franks, Dr. Jan Franks, oft repeated, deeper penetration, ground penetrating radar, deepest in the world is what is literally what he said, which is cool. They talk about that for like 6 minutes of the opening of the show. And it's like, all right, here's Jan. And I don't like that Pete, the tech guy, is like becoming the tech guy, and like bringing in other tech guys. Like, oh, there's Pete's friend, Jan, whatever institute. And I'm like, okay, like these guys have a whole fucking, you know, what is it? Cosmic pizza, ping pong pizza ring. What was the fucking pedophile? Oh. Pizza?
I can't remember the name, but yes, the DC pizza or whatever.
Yeah. And, I'm like, all right. But, anyway, I think were we talking about it before recording was his like big pedo energy, Jan.
Canadian thing
or something. Yeah. So he has that, he just has that weird affect, a little creepy, a little like, not smug, but like that kind of like I'm a humble know-it-all kind of vibe.
Well, because he starts freaking out. He's like, Eric, I've never seen this before. Are you sure this is really this? And like just, like kind of stressing. But
And he's like, and Jan actually wrote that software, so he knows it inside and out. I mean, again, like this show, if you just acted like this show was a very well-funded paranormal, like a ghost hunting show, I mean, they're getting some of the most interesting fucking evidence of any sort of paranormal activity, you know?
Right.
And the kind of the end of the show where they have the high speed, the high frame rate cameras, that was fucking weird. And it's weird that, I think I wrote down there, I was like, it's fucking weird that it's like an Ultraman silhouette or like Ant-Man's helmet, like the Marvel Ant-Man's like a Hopkinsville goblin, like silhouette in the sky. This weird energy cloud that blows, like, you know, is like a brick wall apparently to a rocket, but it lets other things in and out of it too. But we'll get there. But yeah, Dr. Jan Frank is on the ranch. He's bringing his GPR, his ground penetrating radar. They want to really tackle the large dome under the mesa, right? The big metallic object that like they got some shreds of last season and found out that the metallurgy was definitely forged. It was not natural, and it's the same kind of alloy that the space shuttle uses to heat shield itself during reentry and exiting from the atmosphere. So some sort of humanoid made or consciousness made thing, right? So the whole first few minutes is just like jerking off about how deep the radar is, what they're gonna do. It's like, we're going to go over there and fucking radar this thing, right? So he wants to just turn it on because Thomas has it right now. Thomas, more and more, I'm thinking he like, not like has to be handled on, not like he's a prima donna actor, but like he is intoxicated or sedated or something, because his lines are just all very rehearsed, very cue carded. Like, I mean, Travis's are sometimes too, but he's always been like that, where Thomas has always like, pretty genuine response, and he's a pretty quiet guy, so maybe it's just they're trying to like juice him up and make him a little more like have more personality or something this season. But again, he's chunkier, he's got the bags under his eyes, he looks a little unhealthy, but so Jan turns on his custom software on his phone, because the phone will be like the main receiver thing for the data, I guess, of the GPR, and he's like, this should be picking up a waveform, like a normal waveform of sound, basically, of vibrations. And, you know, where it's like a little spike. It's like when, you know, you fucking turn on your MP3 player or whatever and you see the waveform. Instead, they're completely rectangular waveforms.
Yeah, like square waves is what it's called.
Yeah, it's as if the waveforms that are supposed to be there, let's say those were like 32-bit graphics, these are like 8-bit graphics, where it's like there's just like you see the pixels very, it's very strange. There was a lot of that this episode where it seemed to be like almost an anti-interference pattern. It was like a pattern that reduced the detail of data. Mm-hmm. As if to obscure it. You know what I mean? It's like it stretched it all out so you saw just the lines of it instead of the actual, like,
you could just see his jacket, not all the trinkets he had that he had built.
Exactly. To battle everything.
Wow, Data just looks very calm down. $50 bill.
For a second, I was thinking of Data from Star Trek, but
well, that too. Yeah, they're always a classic. Mix them up.
Well, you said trinkets. I was like, oh, inventor Data from full on Chinese. look, guys, slick shoes.
he just like blows thick loads.
I was like, do you have fucking like bladders of oil hidden in your fucking jacket? You know, like those things would be so heavy. You know, but
yeah, he probably weighs 250 in his freaking getup. Or he's, you know, 90 pounds soaking wet otherwise,
right? So this thing is wonking out, and basically they're like, hey, we're gonna fucking do this anyway. There's some interference pattern happening, we're gonna do this anyway. So
my head exploded. not the line. Yeah.
And then just like tranking Thomas again.
Yeah.
Calm him the fuck down. Yeah. He just has extreme PTSD from the first season, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, his baggy eyes are just the skin from his swollen head that's now de-swollen, it's just baggy, hanging off of his.
For some reason, I pictured growing out of the bump on his head from the first season, the little tiny monster finger puppets you get from like Golfland or whatever. Like,
right. Right.
They're talking. I was a good boy at the dentist. Yeah. Travis is like, I'm gonna go check that the 1.6 gigahertz signal isn't firing off, and apparently it isn't, which is strange in and of itself because it's kind of the common thing now with all these experiments. Jan takes a big hefty hunky Caleb, and he seems like nervous around Caleb, like he's almost like crushing on him or something like that. Caleb's got the riz for Jan, you know, and but it's just funny because Jan's like a pretty slightly built guy and Caleb's just like wearing this weird, like he has like a PVC wood mixed with wood rig for the radar, you know. It's a very low-tech mount
radar.
It's also kind of a backpack sort of thing, like a shoulder strap thing, and so he's just like, okay, we got to go up here, and Caleb's like, okay, and like it's gonna awkwardly walk up the mesa. Because they want to get up there and get to like the top and go straight down, basically, is the point. So previously, and this will come up later, that's why I mentioned it. Previously, Thomas was walking around the base of the mesa with the whole fucking strap-on thing on. And that'll be important in a little bit. But yeah. I kind of like this. They completely skip the GPR session. Like, they just skip right to the data. So it skips to right around the table. Jan's there with his laptop. He's already looked at this data and interpreted it and whatever. And he shows Tom's initial walking path, but a lot of the data is missing. So Tom was just kind of zigzagging up the side of the mesa a little bit because I think they're calibrating it or something like that.
Right.
And they were trying to sense the bottom because they could drill in low. And that's where they hit that, what felt like a metal wall or whatever. And now they're trying to see if they can get a better shot at that for like data purposes, and then see if they can go up top and get the full shape of the thing, and then figure out where best to drill after that. So they skip the whole session. They show his zigzagging data, and he's like, we could only recover like 10% of the data or whatever. Or sorry, no, that's I'm skipping, right? The data that is shown usually there's kind of these kind of wavy, you know, kind of round-ish sort of patterns. It looks like a seismograph, like, sort of thing. Like, we've seen it on the show before, but like, they do it on Ghost Adventures and shit too. It's showing just like peaks and valleys, basically, in any sort of pattern. And as opposed to like the normal strata of rock, it's going to look just kind of like normal layers. So they show again what looks like a whole sequence of like blurry QR codes. It has made the information largely pixelated and square. It's like, it's really fucking weird. Like, it's taken each pixel and like blown it up by a factor of like 50 or something. So it's a new kind of data interference that we haven't seen before. And to not overthink it, if Skinwalker Ranch is trying to keep them from trying to fuck with them a bit and not let them just measure everything easily, this is just yet another way that it figure out how to fucking do that, right? How to make it so you could just, you know, recover all this data. Maybe you learned something too much too fast. But there is, Jan's very excited. He's like, but there is some data that was recovered, about 10%. And he's like, I can't even replicate this interference. Like, there's no signal frequency that I can send through this that will fuck it up in this way that I know of, you know, which is right. That's interesting in and of itself. And so he's trying to find hyperbolic shapes, not exaggerated, but like, you know, curved hill shaped things, right? And amongst the 10% of data that's left, and he sees a pattern of what he calls distinct anomalies. So there's a distinct pattern of peaks and valleys that are similar in proportion to each other and kind of evenly spaced apart. And so Travis is shocked. He's like, I'm nowhere near saying there's an alien base under this mesa, but could there be tunnels under there? And who the hell built them if they did? And so wondering if there's a tunnel system, because they looked like smaller humps than what they think the larger dome object is.
Right.
He makes a point that when he went up with Kayla, it was a much deeper penetrating radar section.
Way through these humps. Usually you need about 6-7 to get through that. He's got a full nine.
Oh, Caleb just needed one big hump for me. Yeah. Because they find one big, huge hump. And it's cool because it's like totally normal until it gets to like the middle of the top of the mesa above where they tried to drill. Mm-hmm. And it's a 20-foot wide and 120-foot tall peak, like a fucking dome, like a thing, like a very thin kind of dome. But it's like, it looks like a fucking finish line of a race. Like, it's just weird. Like, they have like totally normal, you know, GPR data, and then dead center there's just a vertical line that looks like a white and black checkerboard pattern. It's very, very, very weird. And Travis is like, well, hell, now we know exactly what boulders we need to get out of there and where we can drill and stuff. So I thought that, I'm also glad that they skipped this and they're saving this for the next episode. They're gonna bring out a crane to move all of these massive rocks so that they can drill in the place they want. And I'm like, cool, they're actually making no caveats for themselves, basically. They're just like, let's just fucking do it. Also, to that point, why is Dragon even on this show anymore? Because his whole thing the first season or two was to like disagree and be
security.
Yeah. Now he's just like, hey, let's do it. And I'm like, okay, why are you even fucking on camera? You know?
Yeah, he's not a scientist.
Yeah.
He's not a scientist. He's not anything. He's just kind of, I guess, a land manager who can drive a cart for one of the UTVs.
Because he doesn't even do like what Caleb's doing. Caleb is just now like the actual more on camera security guy. It's very strange. But because Caleb, not the most charismatic guy. At least Dragon has kind of an attitude and stuff. But Caleb's kind of just a boring dude with a very, he's got to shave that fucking head. It's awful looking. But they know where to move the bolt. So they're going to bring in a crane to move these boulders, but to put the crane on the land, they have to like basically make a foundation like for the crane to be flat and stable. So, and there's also a little canal that runs in between the road and where they want to put the crane, where the mesa starts going upward. So they have to now build a culvert, which is you take a tube, you take like a fucking metal or whatever tube, so that the canal can still flow, and then you build dirt all around, you pack in dirt all around to make a dirt bridge, basically, but not obstruct the canal. Because that was the first thing I thought. I was like, wait, they're going to build a bridge and just like dam up the canal for a while or something? But they have a fucking culvert which looked like a very thin, flimsy thing, but that fucking bulldozer goes across it and it doesn't even flex. So I'm like, that thing must be pretty gnarly to do that. But yeah. Or I guess just the physics of an archway versus, you know, a fucking square. I don't know, whatever.
Right.
Not like that bridge in fucking Pittsburgh or wherever the fuck that was. Jeez.
you Baltimore. Yeah, Baltimore.
You sent that video of the dude in like his own car and he was getting on a similar bridge and he like turns over and he's like, oh fuck, because he sees like an anchor out like that. You know, but it was one of those too soon but kind of thing.
Yeah,
and, it did remind me of the, not that it was the same circumstances, but it reminded me of the Silver Bridge collapse in old Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
Right.
The Mothman stuff.
I'm sure there's all kinds of, yeah, I think there is some conspiracies already quickly running around. Cause I think like the boat was empty at some point or something and just like other goofy stuff. So it's like, was it an attack or
blah, what they, blah, blah. What they did, they had facts, is they had reports of it that some lower ranking, like dude was like, you shouldn't take the boat out like this. We have to fix this electrical problem. And they just didn't listen to him. And so once again, just human arrogance and stupidity, but, we got to make quota or something. So, so they confirmed their plan to build this fucking, you know, carve out a bunch of dirt to build a nice flat platform for the train or train for the crane. And Thomas with a very rehearsed line where he sounds like an intellectually disabled man. He's like, I want to get out there and start throwing rocks. Like he just like, he's trying to sound excited, but he seems so depressed. I'm gonna go out there and start throwing rocks. And he says it like,
what we didn't say is he has gone full retard from that head injury, but we can't say it because the insurance will come after us and take the whole show down.
Wait, you left that in the edit?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I was just ranting to you, Mr. Cameraman. God, you're such a retard. Fuck, I did it again. Don't leave this in. No,
why? Out of the trailer.
How am I aware that you're leaving it in real time, even though the edit is until after you take your camera away and do the edit?
It's the observer effect.
Hey, maybe he's part of, he's part of compilation. Dragon is truly pointless here. This is where I wrote that note that I already retroactively fucking did. They have, they're going to prench, Jesus Christ, they're going to prep the ground here. And I was like, God, please don't just make us watch prepping the ground this episode, unless like something crazy happened or whatever. Thankfully they don't. Also apparently so far the ranch doesn't care if you dig anymore. It doesn't seem to be bothered anymore. So, the entire premise of the first season basically, but, Thomas and Eric and the crane guy keep also saying, hey, let's start slinging some dirt. Hey, let's get some dirt slinging going. All right, let's go get to slinging that dirt. And so they do another experiment that night instead, which again, thankfully, they don't just focus on that culvert over there. But they get a guy named, what is his name? It's like, Burdett. His name is Burdett, and he is from a company called Photron Cameras.
It's like a company made him name. Like he's part one of their products and services they offer.
Hey, I'm a proto dad AI.
Yeah, Burdett's like B.E.
Right. Yeah.
Big energy dad. Except canning Tuesdays.
His AI came out so stupid. We just gave him a stupid name, you know, to go along with it. But he, are you still there? Oh, you're still there. Good. Okay. It's Blart. Yes,
can you?
Blart,
Glad
to be back, says Blart. But NP Matthew, sorry, never gave you the shout out early on in the show. So Photron cameras are ultra high speed cameras. So they want to shoot off some rockets again and capture the rocket launches with the high speed cameras. Now, Travis is like, we're going to shoot these puppies at 1,000 frames per second. But like literally the Photron guy, also kind of like a little kid or like an intellectually disabled man, he's like, but I could shoot like 100,000 or a million frames per second with this. And then Travis is like, well, we're doing 1,000. I'm like, why are you doing 1,000? Do more if you can. I don't get it. Like, it's, I don't know. Like, is there fucking like space concerns in terms of like, is there space on the hard drive? I don't get it. Whatever.
Yeah. But, like processing time. I don't know.
Cause the whole point is, and it's a cool, it's, he mentions this last episode and I was pleasantly surprised that they're doing it because they don't really like advertise it. Like this episode, they're doing these like high speed experiments, but, or they don't like, they don't, what is it, tip their hand or anything to show that they're going to do this later. And, which, you know, to me, it kind of shows like that maybe they're not faking this stuff. Cause it's like, oh, it was going to be this one experiment, but oh, let's just move the fucking camera experiment up and bring him in the next day or something. So they're going to shoot these rockets. First rocket is away and it turns, it almost banks off of something in midair and goes another way. So, Thomas goes, gosh, if it ain't one thing, it's another, huh? Like, and so Travis is freaking out because it banked off of something. They send the second rocket away. Also, it's frustrating. We never see the footage of these rockets on the high speed cameras. We only see the third one that blows up, which was kind of frustrating.
Right.
But, which leads me to believe
the desert on fire.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's holding the fucking motor right next to like dry bush. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, you're going to fucking cause a forest fire, whatever,
desert fire, brush fire,
brush fire. Yeah. As I just said, brush,
which, cause one of the rockets,
that's what happened to Combs. A great brush fire in Sonoma, 2019, you know, it's comb country now. This is a show of like men with wispy hair. Like Travis has got real wispy style hair. Caleb's got it. Dragon is very bold.
Of that age. You know, it's all coming,
but I got to keep it going, you know? Caleb notices a UAP, an orange UAP right after the second rocket. The second rocket is the only like completely successful normal one, goes super high. Also, I don't know. It seems like they're launching them from the exact same spot, which would then mean that if the first one hits something and the third one blows up from hitting something, that would mean that it is either, it's also not always there, I guess, if the second one just went through it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So Caleb points out this UAP and Travis is like, yeah, right there. He's freaking out. He says that it is the most prominent anomaly I've ever seen appear in over Skinwalker Ranch. I'm like, okay, like it doesn't seem like the most prominent. Like there's been other ones where it seems closer and stuff, but I'm not them. And it is very bright. It's a very bright kind of just orangish light moving around. It seems to keep going, increase in speed over time. And it seems to be there for at least a few minutes. And so Eric is back at command center with all his cameras and stuff. And Thomas is like, because they're not picking it up on, he can't find it on the cameras. And so Thomas asks him to check the ADSB, which I thought was something new, but we've seen it before. It's the fucking radar that tracks transponders from any sort of official aircraft over the sky zone. What do they call it? The airspace.
Oh yeah.
Sky zone's a trampoline park, I think.
Well, that too. We could put 10 of them out here with this much land.
Hey, it's Dollar Tuesdays. That one's over by Steve's house, you know? Which once in a great while, when I drive there, it's always Toddler Tuesdays. And that's where
you always have to keep going.
That's where Jan and Pete keep, they show up there every Tuesday morning.
But yeah, they drink at the Game Craft and then roll on over.
They're like the old Mervyn's commercial where they're like, open, open, open. So Eric confirms there is absolutely no transponder signal from this UAP in their space. And he's like, I've got a range of 130 miles. That'll come up later too. They have like a little song here that sounds a lot like our intro, which was kind of funny. A very like, dun, 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 like kind of primal tribal drum thing. Shout out to Sir Dubbingsley for putting that together for us. They send the third and final rocket and it fucking blows up like 40 feet in the air. And it kind of bings off and lands and falls and whatever, catches fire. And Travis is shocked. He's like, the motor blew up. It defecated inside the rocket. And I think the word is deflagrated. He keeps saying deflagated, but it sounds like he's like, no, it defecated.
Yeah, rocket took a big shit and blew up.
I mean, this Rocket's been acting weird ever it started doing them recipes from that Chili Chains account on Instagram. It's too spicy.
Yeah, you follow that dude? He watched him blow up his whole car with the car battery, and he was back the next week.
He said, "Do you follow that? Do you follow that goof, right?
Or that dude?"
Oh,
or
dude. Something. I don't know. He said goo, and I was like, I don't know.
You follow that guy? Well, it's supposed that to be goo? Me, but, you know.
Ugh, shot up a bunch of goofs back in NAMM. Yeah. You know? They were getting crazy. They were just laughing all the time and stuff, telling stupid jokes. They were my guys.
Blew our,
yeah, they blew our cover. They were my guys. It was friendly fire.
They saw a lot of atrocities I did, and they were going to tell, so I had to get rid of them.
I kept saying a yuck, a yuck, a yuck. It's like, yeah. Fucking leg. let him rot in that rice paddy. Let that dirty rice water get in there.
Nothing surprises the swamp.
Right. Eric tries to have some personality this episode too. And he's like, because Travis is like, Eric, you see that? You capture that? And he's like, looks like we got a lawn dart, Travis. Later on, I LOL'd for sure with one of Eric's lines, which we'll get to in a minute. But so they go and check the high speed camera. So this is pretty crazy. So it is a completely cloudless desert night, right? You can see the stars, everything. They show the sky, whatever, completely cloudless. And at 1,000 frames per second, it looks almost like there's like someone was like shining a flashlight or something, maybe a little more powerful than a flashlight up in the sky. Like from the ground, it looks like the lights of the rocket launch pad are like kind of shooting straight up, but they're not. And because they show it on the regular camera, and there's no lights that are bright pointing straight up. So and there is a fucking weird shape. It almost seems like pareidolia. Like, it's, you know, if you see a cloud and make a shape, your brain kind of tries to make some sort of orderly shape out of it. Right. Yeah. But it is a symmetrical, like, again, like I said before, like, picture like Ultraman or Ant-Man, like, you know, what's his face, Paul Rudd's Ant-Man, like helmet with the little kind of antennas on the side,
right?
Or like a classic like Hopkinsville goblin or like kind of elf creature or something, right? Like, it's weird. It even looks like it almost has a face shape in there, and so and even almost like shoulders and arms in a weird way. Like, it's the, like, it's the silhouette of a fucking thing. So is my signal being weird?
Yeah. Oh, but you're back. It did the same thing again where it restarted the Twitch too.
Oh, that's odd. Cause I'm not seeing anything on my side, but I even turned off my, the OneDrive accounts. Cause the OneDrive, unlike Google Docs, OneDrive runs very heavy and like needs to synchronize every hour and stuff. So usually eats up resources, but yeah, it's really weird. And they show the rocket. I mean, I can't really tell from the perspective. I guess I'm trusting him on this, that this blob in the sky is somehow has a solid enough form that when this rocket hits it, it just fucking binks off of it so hard that one of the motors blows up inside. Right. So it either hits some energy or got veered off or something by this, what looks like a shape. It's very strange. And so it's like definitely a new kind of evidence. We've never had high speed evidence at all on this show. And I hope that they use it again. I mean, they should be filming every experiment with one of these high speed fucking cameras, at least like every single one. They should just buy a Photron camera and just operate it and have it. Mm-hmm. I made the point here too. Oh, sorry. This shape is the blob of the episode. This is why it's titled The Blob. It's the shape. But they're going nuts over this. They see it on there and they're like high-fiving each other and everything. And Caleb, like a little kid, he's like, Travis, it's only 30 feet above us. Like when it happens, he's like, yeah, 40. Like, there's a lot of weird arbitrary one-upping of from Travis. It's like, it's only 30 feet. He's like, yeah, 40. Yeah. Like, it just like said, one extra tick for a lot of the measurements on the episode. I don't know why, but they harken back to when and I forgot about this. I think it's season 2. They had a really tall rocket that was already like 20 feet high, and it barely got off of its very even taller, like, launch kind of, you know, fucking little like an oil pump looking oil, whatever, one of those towers, you know, or electrical tower kind of looking thing. And it just blew up at the very top of its launch, right? Or before leaving its launch.
Oil derrick?
Yeah, derrick, I think, is the things out in the ocean, but it's like the oil. It's the old school oil pumps before they looked like the ants, like the bug, you know, that would pump
around.
But like a fucking like the Eiffel Tower, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, which is cool. I'm like, okay, like that could be another example.
That's an oil derrick. Yeah.
Of a rocket fucking blowing up in there. And so then this episode ends with 5-6 minutes of them seeing a helicopter that is not transponding on the aforementioned ABSD. It's flying around this anomaly. It flies behind it, and they say, Travis and the crew say, that the lights dimmed when it went behind it. As much as I want to believe that, I don't know. I mean, it's flying around,
yeah,
turning and all that stuff, whatever. I don't really care about that part, but it is pretty weird that there is an unmarked, untransponding, meaning it must be a military or like special ops or, you know, black ops helicopter flying around. And it circles a bunch of times. They say it's there for, yeah, this is another one up time. Tom's like, is there at least 4 or 5 minutes? He's like, 10.
Yeah.
So let's say it's 10 minutes, whatever, to appease Travis. He's very angry because he's like, this thing's really spooking us and pissing us off at the same time. But it is weird. Oh, this is the part that I died at. They keep asking Eric, they're like, Eric, you got it on camera? And it's like his voice off cam, but he's like, all right, now fine. And then he's going to shoot it down or something. And, but yeah, Travis keeps saying, like, this fucking thing is doing surveillance on the ranch. Like, it's circling.
Yeah, it's not just cruising. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not just driving by. It's watching them. It stops and hovers for a minute and watches them. Both Travis and Thomas are very confident that they know that there are no helicopters in anywhere close by the ranch that have night vision capability.
Yeah.
They say it to each other like 4 times, you know, and because they're even trying to rationalize. They're like, well, you know, maybe called it in. And Thomas like, called it in from where? Where's there's only military base right there. And they don't have night vision. So they're very sure of the night vision capabilities. I could not tell you the first fucking thing about any of the helicopters in my area.
Why would they not all have that capability?
Okay. So the episode kind of ends with Travis is like, are we being spied on? I don't know, but I want to find out. It ends on kind of an ominous note. And the next episode's called The Watchers, which could be a Jason Martell kind of, you know, Nephilim Anunnaki kind of thing, or it could be referencing, right, they're being watched by the military or whatever.
Yep.
Secret organization, some deep state organization.
Yeah. He just starts mooning them, cranking out. You won't see show. I'll show you show.
I was waiting for them to like almost try to provoke the helicopter in some way or whatever, right, like shine their lights or something. And they just sat
shoot
there.
A rocket.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you what, come here. We're getting to fall in the vortex.
I'm going to bank him right into that fucker.
You guys should have seen the shit I did not.
I'm blasting those goofs all the way to the fucking Twilight Zone. Shut up, Thomas. Shut the fuck up. There's no drink on, Thomas. Shut the
and
fuck
it's just
up.
Him having a fever dream in his trailer.
With the little thing. He has the finger puppet here with his hand. They're growing out of my head, I told you. That's really quick, I was going to say, too. Why could they not get a fucking folding chair for Burdette, who's man? He's like hunkered down. He's squatting. He's taking a knee, or he's standing up. And like, did no one have a chair for the? I mean, maybe he's just like, no.
Maybe he turned it down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I'm just like, I was like, God, just let this guy be fucking comfortable for a second. But it drove me nuts because it was like the classic, like, if you were working on that laptop at work and your boss comes and hunkers down and like, hey, let me see that email you're writing to our leadership right now. Let's just go over it real quick. And it's just or the waiters or waitresses that do that shit at the restaurant where they like squat down crotch level with you at the booth. Right. You know, God, I hope she doesn't smell it.
Yeah.
These are stink enhancing basketball. First thing I thought. So why would I hope she didn't smell it if I was perfect?
Right. You're so extra. Yes, these pants are.
Yeah, that's the brand name for the stink enhancing. Shorts. Anyway, next episode's The Watchers. This has been Hungry for Skinwalker Ranch, presented by Probing Ancient Aliens. And if you want to support our show. You can head over to patreon.com/probingancientaliens for 2 exclusive podcasts every single month. Listen to our other show, No Guts, No Glory, the Berserk podcast, on all your favorite podcast services. Head over to Black Hole Supply Company for that Probing Ancient Aliens merchandise, disc golf disc, and disc golf apparel with that physical location inside Cape and Cow Collectibles here in Orange County, California, 9525 Garfield Avenue, Suite C, as in come, 92708. Follow us at Probing Ancient Aliens on Instagram. And No Guts, No Glory PC for the No Guts, No Glory Brazil podcast show on Instagram. And leave us those nice reviews. Give us a follow on your favorite podcast service. Tell your friends about it. And yeah, we will we'll see you another time. But we're going to be fucking off the whole thing, guys, because we're bye.
Bye.